Welcome to the OKC First podcast.
Together, we're learning to do three things.
Friendship with God.
Friendship with one another.
And open friendship for the sake of the world.
For more information about OKC First,
please visit OKCFirst.com.
Today's scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because these days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Matthew, thank you, man. That was very special for me. You did a great job. I'm proud of you, and we're really glad that you're part of our fellowship. I'm grateful for you, man. Glad you've been here for about 10 years. And he told me the other day, I just love to read scripture. I was like, man, we'll get you signed up. How about the Sunday I preach? So glad you're here. If you want to read scripture, let us know. We'd love to have you if you want to read scripture. Let that be something that you can do before our moments together. My name is Jason Smith, and I am the associate pastor here, and have been here for 20 years, Pastor Steve. This August, 20 years. I've been here as a part of your church, 19 years as your pastoral team. And the sermon series that Pastor John's leading us through is called Faith is a Team Sport. And I just have to say, I love my church. You have embraced me from the day Pastor called me to be an intern, and I have felt like you are my family. And you are my family. Use it as I'm walking around checking on some of you and talking to some of you this morning. You're rooting for me in this moment and praying for me, and I'm so grateful for that. So many of you have reached out to me in those ways. Sixth graders, this sermon's going to be somewhat about you today, and it's so neat to see some of you having your Bibles out. If you want to open up your Bibles that Pastor Lisa just gave you as you're going to the youth group to the book of Ephesians, we're going to be in chapter 5. Would love for you to have the habit of bringing your Bible to church and being in the Word. Would love for that to be something. So Ephesians is going to be almost at the very end of our scripture. This is a book by a guy named Paul writing to the people of Ephesus, and we're going to be looking at a little bit of that about later today. So be on the lookout, sixth graders. There's going to be quite a bit of you in this service today, because you wouldn't remember this, but most of your parents would. For over half of you, I was there for you and prayed for you in the hospital in the few days after you were born. The thing that's kind of challenging to me now is that now that I've been here for 20 years, it's now the high schoolers who are graduating that I was there when they were born and prayed for them that first or second day that they were born. And so one of the things that I think has made this particular local context unique for me and some of your pastoral team is that I think that we really do think that faith is a team sport. Faith in your life with God is personal, but it's not privatized or individualized. There is something about our faith that is a team sport. And the sermon series that Pastor John is leading us through this summer, this portion is called This Is Who We Are. And so I get to tell you a little bit about who we are, who we've been, and I hope maybe where God has us going. I am not this guy. This is one of my best friends in the world. This is our leader. This is our pastor, John Middendorf, and his wife, Kelly. Kelly had a birthday on Friday. Pastor John and Kelly this morning are with their son, Drew, over at Southern Nazarene University as Drew enters into his freshman year in college. Yeah, come on. That's fantastic. And although they're not here, I know John will watch this on YouTube, and perhaps Kelly, too, maybe listen to it on a podcast. But I think that the Ephesians will say something to Pastor John and Kelly as they enter into a new phase of their life, because now that Taylor's at school and Drew's going to school, what does it mean for this couple as they are empty nesters for the first time? Have any of you out there been empty nesters? Have any of you out there faced college for the first time? Look at these two. I was there the day that Drew was born. The moment that Drew was born, my role in Pastor John and Kelly's life was to take pictures of that moment right after Drew was born. This was before kids have sixth graders. This is before our phones had cameras. So I did bring a real camera, take pictures of Drew, then drive home as fast as I could, upload them to my computer, and email them to Jess and Susan Middendorf. What are their grandparents' names? Giba and Granddaddy. Look at Taylor holding Drew, I think, for the first time. And then look at these two kids over here that are all grown up. Have any of you ever been freshmen in college and had to face all of those new things in the world ahead of you? Well, I went through the archives and found Pastor John Middendorf as a freshman in college. That's Pastor John with Will Greg Diamond. And, you know, we're all freshmen in college at some point if we've gotten there. Or we've all kind of had that new opportunity to happen in our life once we graduate high school. So 23 years ago, Burton and Shirley Smith drove from Ontario, Oregon, across the United States to come to Oklahoma and drop me off at NSI, called New Student Institute. And here's Jason, 23 years ago. Picture with his, yeah, that's great. Picture with his mom, picture with his dad in front of Snowbarger Hall, getting ready for NSI. That doesn't look like someone like Jason, does it? Doesn't it look like someone who's worried about the future? When I look through these pictures, and I will say tens of thousands of pictures to find these two pictures these last week, I thought I would find more like this. Happy Jason, wearing my Ontario Golf Wind shirt, happy to face the world ahead of me. And yet, what did I find in this picture? I find this guy. And I just, pictures don't lie. It's really hard to do new things. There's all sorts of challenges ahead of you. There's all sorts of unknown that you're presented with, and there oftentimes is apprehension. There was a picture posted on social media this last week that has just taken me. It has gutted me. And Anders, it's of you, bud. That picture. You can stand up and wave if you want. That's you. It's the back of your head. But you gave me permission. Anders gave me permission to share this photo. So did his folks. This is Anders on Meet the Teacher Day of his first day of before the first day of middle school. I just want you to soak in this picture, because no matter if you're a kindergartner or at the end of your life, we've all been right there. The day before Meet the Teacher, when the whole world is ahead of you and you don't know what to expect. The picture I skipped over was of one of my favorite families in the life of the church. I think they're here. Oh my gosh. What's it like to drop your kid off at school with open hands and just say, God is with you? Not just for her, but for your whole family. What does it mean for us in the 008 to not have her around? We've all been right here, Anders. And so we're rooting for you. Sixth graders, we're rooting for you. The world, as the scripture said in Ephesians, can be a strange and evil place. It can be full of angst. It can be full of worry. It can be full of surprises. It can be full of division. It can be full of disagreement. It can be full of apprehension. The world can be a strange and dangerous and scary place. And I just want you to soak in this picture, because I'm going to show it to you about three or four more times throughout these sermon moments. Because I think we've all been right here. As I look out and see some of you, I see some of you. You might not be a sixth grader for the first time, but you might be starting a new business for the first time. You maybe moved to town for the first time. Some of you are becoming first-time grandparents. Some of you are sending your kid off to kindergarten for the very first time. Some of you are trying to figure out what a retirement life is like. And although we're not Anders, aren't we all personified in this picture? Looking down that hallway, Lisa, this picture. I mean, I want to frame it and put it up in church. Some of you may be trying out this church for the first time online or in the building, and you're thinking, is there a place here for me? Some of you have gone through a change in your relationship, and you don't know what the future looks like. And we've all been right there. And what does this passage in Ephesians have for us today, for all of you who are in all varied different areas of your life? Some of you are taking a Sunday school class for the first time. What does that look like? What does it mean for me? How do I narrate my life? Where is God in these moments? And how do I move forward? I think that today, this passage in Ephesians is going to help us all. And Anders, you're our mascot today, but it's not just you, buddy. It's all of us. All of us are right here on the edge of something new, trying to say, how do we live? Who are we? And what does it look like as we move forward? So let's look a little bit of Ephesians. So Pastor John has been going through all of the book of Ephesians these last 5 weeks, and I want to give a shout out to Tamara and to Zach and to the worship team and Pastor Mark. Not Pastor Mark. You're not a Pastor Mark. You're just Mark. Tam, the songs that you've allowed us to experience these last few weeks have just been made my heart so full. I have gone back, I'm sure some of you have done this too, I've gone back on YouTube every single week these last few weeks and rewatched those worship services because there's something about the nostalgia of what's happening, and I think there's something about what God is doing in your hearts in these moments. Well, Pastor John has been moving us these last 5 weeks through the book of Ephesians, and he's had these "we are" statements. These "we are" statements. I'm going to go through the first five, and then we're going to have one for today. So as he's gone through the sermon series, he said, this is who we are. This is who defines who we are as faith as a team sport. I'm going to go through those briefly before we get to Ephesians 5. Pastor John has led us through that we are the embodiment of the heart, passion, and intention of God. We are a new kind of humanity. I love that one. We are the family of God, organized and animated by love. That is who we are. We are animated and organized by love. We are still growing and growing up into unity, the fullness of Christ, and maturity. Lots of Ephesians is a coach like Paul saying, can you guys just grow up a little bit? And can you get along? We are imitators of God. That famous verse in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God, therefore, dearly loved children. And today we get to look at this. We are filled with the Spirit and grateful. So let's explore some of Ephesians 5:15-20 today. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is who we are. We are filled with the Spirit and we are grateful. And Tam, I want to just say how grateful I am to you. Probably started that little thanks just a little bit too early. This is who we are. And for some of these kids, how many years have you been with us? Almost 10 years. More than that. Like 12. Anders, how old are you? 11. And you're at Barrett's 12. So those two kids who were born in this church and I was at both of their births, the only person who's led them in worship when they hear about what it means to follow after God as they sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs is you. That's Brandon. But, I mean, my kid right there is 14, and she's been going to sleep since she was a baby by hearing you sing Revelation song. That was on a loop, as people have heard us. And I think that there's something about this church that has been called the singing church. Now, this church started in May of 1910 down in Oklahoma City. We started as a revival under these tents, and we grew up into a church that was able to afford our first building. Now, this building has some important people in that front row, including Fred Nichols, the father of Lee, who still attends our church today, and then Catherine Cherry, one of my all-time favorite people in the life of our church. And we had this church purchased around 1917 until, around the 40s when we were able to purchase a property at 6th and Francis. And some of you will know what this church looks like, and some of you have been down there when we had the singing church celebration just a few years ago with our Straight Shooters reunion. And when I say the Straight Shooters, this is what I mean by the Straight Shooters. This gathering of ragamuffin kids from the neighborhood. A church that was known for reaching out to kind of the kids who were on the edges and margins of society. A church that at one point, from my understanding, was uninvited from the district youth camp because our kids were just too bad, too ragamuffin-y. And so we started our own church camp. So guess who started it? Catherine Cherry with a whistle around her neck. And she could order those kids around and knew who they obeyed. They obeyed Catherine. Because you know why? Because Catherine loved them. Catherine, every single day, was taking care of those Straight Shooter kids, and on Thursdays, she would have the girls. And the girls were called the Live Wire girls, and she would have them in for activities and recreation, and because Walt Cherry owned Cherry's Burgers, they had them for a hot dog or hamburger, some fries and a Coke every Thursday. And so a church that was reaching out to those on the margins, some of the worst around town who have become some of the members of our church who are so beloved, was also defined by being the singing church. See, if you zoom in on that brick building at 6th and Francis, you see this old neon sign. How much would I pay to have that sign today? This old neon sign called the singing church. And we were a church that sang psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among one another, giving thanks to the Lord. It defined who we are. And so there's all sorts of pictures in our archives of all of the groups that would travel, all of the quartets that would sing, all of the choirs that would gather together and travel around, singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs among one another, giving thanks to the Lord our God. And so we moved up here. And we have those letters, by the way, and I think an art project on the campus somewhere to put those letters back up. Because in my pictures, if we're looking through the 2000s, it was in, I believe, 2010 when we broke ground on the Cole Community Center. And some of you will know those letters out front that were in our front lawn. This is the picture I think of when I think of what God bringing us to this space. But it's not a building, you all. It's those of you who are inside of it. You are a church that I believe has been defined as the singing church for so many years. Such an odd collection of people willing to reach out to those who are on the margins, to stay put in this corner of the neighborhood, to reach out to the ragamuffins around our city and all that you are doing, including what Pastor Kaylee has done with One and all of her team at our Neighborhood Empowered. And you are a people who have gathered together to sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another, giving thanks to the Lord. And so this is who you are, and this is who we are. Some of you will find your place in that picture. And I hope that we've been hospitable enough to graft in so many of you who were not around when we took this picture. And I think that as we look at this scripture, this is Jason's paraphrase of this scripture, I think that my hope is that this is who we are defines where we've been, and I hope it can continue to define where we're going. Let me read this to you. Be filled with the Spirit as you sing among yourselves, making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more I read this passage, the more in some ways I got kind of annoyed with it. Because who wants to give thanks at all times and who wants to give thanks for everything? That sounds like way too big of a job for all of us. Because it's hard, I think, to give thanks at all times and for everything, when we find ourselves like Anders in this picture, looking forward with perhaps an uneasiness, and with a culture at times that leads you to division and angst and apprehension. And I just kind of wonder, how do we be a people who remember where we've been and look forward to where we go, where we're going? As we look at this passage in Ephesians. See, I think that Ephesians 5:1 says, tells us to be imitators of God. And then this passage, Ephesians 5:15 to 20, tells us to be filled with the Spirit, to be wise and not unwise, to be people who are seeking the will of God. And then in the midst of all of it, be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks to God at all times and all places and for all things. And when we're faced with the world ahead of us, like Anders is, I don't think that the culture surrounding us is pushing us towards thanksgiving and gratitude. I think the culture around us, and maybe some of the ways in which we're wired, is pushing us more towards angst and division and outrage. I think it's pushing us towards entitlement and pushing us away towards gratitude. And I don't think you can necessarily be a person of gratitude that's just kind of the way that you're born. I think it's like all things. I think it's a spiritual discipline. And I think that you can't just fall into gratitude. You can't just be someone who sings songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to the Lord if you don't come and sing those songs. In my house, it's about golf, violin, and piano. And you don't just happen to show up when you're a senior in high school and go to the state tournament or to your final recital if you haven't practiced golf, violin, or piano. There's a reason they're called spiritual disciplines. I don't think you can just be grateful because you decide to be grateful. I think it's something that we've done and something I believe and hope that we can be, to be the kind of person that practices gratitude. I don't think you can just give thanks one time a year at the harvest dinner and figure out that you're going to be wake up every third Wednesday and be like, oh yeah, I'm grateful today. It's something that's practiced, and I think practiced daily. And God has given us throughout the years here some saints that are exemplars in our lives. And I want to tell you a story about one of them. Her name is Virginia Moody. And her daughter, granddaughter, son-in-law are here today. I reached out to them to make sure I had my story straight, but also to reach out and to say thanks and to say how much we're grateful for the history that this woman has given to us. Look at this picture of Virginia. Virginia with her good and dear friend Gladys LaCrone. And then Virginia, a picture I took of her when we were in Branson, when I took a trip to some of our older folks to Branson. And this picture here is the picture that we used when she passed away. I think it was close to about 10 years ago, but she has a story that I want to share today that I think can be an exemplar of our life together. You see, Virginia was a person of great spiritual discipline. And when she was a very young lady, she got out a yellow legal pad, just like this. Very young lady, right, Marla? When she was a very young lady, Virginia began to write down in a yellow legal notepad every answer to prayer that God ever had given to her. And what Marla told me yesterday, her daughter, was that it wasn't just all the good answers to prayer. It was some of the ones that went unanswered in the ways in which she wouldn't hope the situation to go. But page after page after page, after she passed away, or I think right before she passed away, she gave this as a gift to her daughter. And her daughter looked through it. And Marla, the thing that has stood out with me for the last 10 years as I continue to think about your mom is that you said, I was astounded at how many times my name was in this yellow legal pad day after day, month after month, year after year, as she had the spiritual discipline to write down every answer to prayer that God had given her for her whole life, from a young woman until the day that God called her home. I've been stunned by that for 10 years because there's something that Pastor John says when each of you kids were dedicated or had an infant baptism. There's something that Pastor John has said. He's called your family up in front of people and he's asked you the question, are you willing to be caught praying? Are you willing to be caught disagreeing Christianly? Are you willing to be caught reading scripture? Are you willing, as you gather up in front of the whole church, as we dedicate this child back unto God, are you willing to be caught in spiritual habits and practices by your children and grandchildren in ways in which they now understand what it means to follow after Jesus? And Marla, you caught your mom praying. You caught your mom reading scripture. And you caught your mom thanking God and remembering every answered prayer. And so I've purchased these 12 legal notepads. And I want a handful of you after the service to go up and pick one up. I don't care if you are the youngest among us. Maybe one of our sixth graders. Maybe one of our sixth graders will say, hey, that's kind of cool. I'm going to write down one thing a day I'm thankful for throughout all my years of middle school. And then maybe there's someone who's in ninth grade to say, you know what a great practice to start. What if every morning when I woke up, I wrote down something I was thankful for? Or maybe there's a college student for the first time, or perhaps I'm thinking of some of the new moms that I am friends with in their life. What if at the end of every day, because some of those days as new moms are really hard. What if you had kind of a little practice at the end of your evening, a little examen of sorts, to say, what's something today that I'm thankful for? You can do that on a notes app on your phone. You can do that in a journal that's fancier than a yellow notepad. But I wonder if maybe two of these 12 notepads will be picked up by somebody, that at the beginning of the day, maybe at the end of your day, to write down something that you're thankful for. And then, perhaps, at the end of your days, when you're about to say goodbye to your family and be ushered into heaven, you'll be caught every day by maybe a child or a grandchild, looking back and seeing all the things that grandma or grandpa was thankful for. Perhaps years from now, they'll find that and look through and see your name in it too. But I don't think you just get to wake up at the end of your days and be someone who's grateful. I think it takes the practice and the discipline to every day look at your life. When the world is telling you to be full of angst and outrage and apprehension, and your life may point you towards those areas, but perhaps at the end of every day, you can look back and say, I am thankful for this today. I wonder how different you would be in a month if you took one of these yellow notepads or opened up an app on your phone and write what I am thankful for just day one and started. I wonder if you'd have a different life in 30 days. I wonder if you'd have a different life in 365 days. I'd wonder if you'd have a different life in 50 years, if every day before you went to bed, you said thank you to God for one thing in your life that God had given you that day. So my mentor is here in Pastor Steve Green. Pastor, you're my preaching pastor. And a sermon cannot be a sermon that's just an instruction or a to-do. It can't just be do this, because that's what the culture gives us. There has to be in every sermon a moment of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here's that good news moment this morning. As I gave myself to the book of Ephesians this week and had a chance to read it at least once a day over these last 7 days, what I was able to find in the book of Ephesians as Paul gets to this fifth chapter is that the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this, is that God is with you and that God's grace is near and that God has given you the gift of one another. So when you face this situation, Anders, you know that no matter what the future looks like, I'm still able to look back at the day that God has given me and give thanks because God is with me, God's grace is near, and God has given us the gift of one another. So it's not just a, I hope, pull up your bootstraps and be grateful because God's given you so much. I hope it's not a pastor saying just to do better, because you can get that instruction anywhere. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the reason that we can be people of gratitude is because God is with you and God's grace is near and God has given us the gift of one another. So when you face moments like this, and again, I hope that each of you, if you've seen these pictures of Anders, can place yourself in his shoes, down a hallway that may look a little different than that, but a hallway that we all face, to know that God is with you, God's grace is near, and God has given us the gift of one another. And so, because of that, we can be a people who are filled with the Spirit and grateful. And there's one last illustration that allows us to do this better than any illustration a pastor can think about. It's this. It's the Lord's table. For it is called Eucharist, or Thanksgiving. And as I see my friend Jeremy and Kristen and Phil go and find ways in which to give you each of these, I want you to, if you have not have this little bread and little cup that we're about to partake, if you could please raise your hand. And then it looks like quite a few of our sixth graders, Christian, need that. They were up here getting ready. Oh, more than usual, it looks like. So we'll make sure that Jeremy and Kristen and Phil get us all of these, because everyone has to have one. That's part of what it means to be the table of Thanksgiving. And there's no greater practice, no greater illustration than this moment for us to be able to recognize that God is with us, because God truly is with us in this sacramental moment. God is with us. That's kind of what the sacrament means. This is a place when heaven touches earth. It's a thin place. Each week we get an opportunity to practice this. We recognize that God is with us. And what better gift that God has given us than the gift of his own son, Jesus Christ, that we are reminded that God's grace is near. Jesus is the vision and the picture of God's grace being near. And then that last one, God has given us the gift of one another. Y'all, I don't know if you know this, but the Eucharist makes us one. It does not make us uniform. It gives us an opportunity for unity. Each week, as you partake this, you are saying to the family of God, we are brother and sister in Christ. That's what this means. Yes, it's for God is with us. Yes, it is for the grace of God, but it binds us together. This is why John and I don't like these little individual communion cups, because communion should be with a big loaf and a big vat of grape juice. You know, we're kind of Nazarenes, so that first line, don't get drunk, the Nazarenes love this passage. We want to be filled with the Spirit. And it's why this is hard for John and I. And I know it's hard for some of you, because we want there to be a big, delicious loaf of bread here that we can all break off that reminds us that we belong to one another. The world asks us to be people of division and of angst and of outrage, and the scripture and the passage calls us to belong to one another, to be people of gratitude, to find ways in which you have in common and not everything that tears you apart. And so we're doing our best. So don't consider this to be something that's individualized or privatized. Yes, it's personal, but this moment is not privatized. And for those of you watching online, we're so grateful that you've joined us this morning. It's a scary time. The world is evil. It's a terrible place at times. And yet you are with us too. And I hope that you can take whatever you can find. Some of you are coming by and getting these elements, and we're so grateful for that. Some of you are doing the best, and some of my favorite pictures are, I think, my family, the pastor, the guy who works here and is here every day and should be bringing these home. I think a couple weeks ago, it was Ritz crackers and blue Powerade. I think I think the closest thing my family could get to this. So it's personal, but it's not privatized. It is not an individualized moment. This binds us together in Jesus Christ as a family of God, to not be uniform, but to find unity. And in the midst of all of that, to find ways to give thanks and not find ways to live in angst. I guess it's a challenge for you, straight out of scripture. What would the next few days and weeks and months of your life look like if you would look back at the end of each day and say, what am I thankful for that God has given me today? Because we all face the world ahead like Anders. Let me pray. Jesus, we've come to a moment and we want to say thank you for the gift of yourself that you've given to us, so perfectly seen and embodied in the person of Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection, and the gift of the sacrament that you've given to us. So God, bless these elements and transform this piece of styrofoamy bread and just a half an ounce of grape juice into the means of grace, a sacrament for our lives that can transform us into the people who are filled with the Spirit of God and find ways to be grateful. In your name we pray, amen. For on the night he was betrayed, man, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat and do this in remembrance of me. Church, let's together take and break and eat. And now as you peel back that juice, I always peel it away from me so I don't get juice on my shirt. I don't know what you guys do. As you peel it away from you. Amongst friends, but also amongst enemies, opposites and irritants, Jesus took the cup and he redefined it as a new covenant of his blood given for you for the remission of sins. And church, together we get to, as one body, take and drink this gift together. And so, Jesus, we do give thanks because that has been the moment of thanksgiving for us. We are so grateful, God, that you are with us. God, we are so grateful that you've given us the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, and the grace that we receive through him. And God, we are grateful that you've given us one another. Mark is playing this song, Agnes Di. I want him to play for a little bit. And I want you to go ahead and put down your little crinkly cups. And I want just to have a practice today. What are you grateful for? You can be grateful for a variety of different things. But in these moments, could you, as we listen to Mark play this song, could you express to God in prayer something you are grateful for? You can keep expressing those prayers throughout this prayer. But it's during this prayer each week, Pastor John prays the prayer of confession. So would you pray along with me as I say a quick prayer of confession and then also have a prayer of intercession? God, it's in these moments that we do confess that at times we do choose to live out of angst and outrage and division rather than, God, living in gratitude. And God, I think it's hard because I think that without the practice, it's a lot easier to live in that sense of entitlement and outrage than it is to live in gratitude. So God, would you give us the grace to transform us by your Spirit, to be people filled by your Spirit as imitators of God, allowing us, God, to perhaps each day, in the midst of difficulty and apprehension and perhaps even lament, still find ways to say thank you and to live lives defined by gratitude. Would you give us the grace for that today? And God, forgive us on the times when we've chosen else otherwise. God, it's also these moments, and we want to ask that you would come alongside of some of the folks who we love at our church, who especially need you. And church, if you've come into this place this morning, there's no doubt that you have someone in your life who you really care about, who has something that they need healing from. You can pray for them in these moments. Probably you don't have to think very hard to know of someone in your own life, and that can be someone in your own household, and especially can be you. Something that God needs to come really close by. Whoever you are thinking of in those moments, just want to give that person or those moments or situation to God in prayer. The person I'm thinking about the most is my mother-in-law, Katie's mom, Margaret Farmer. There's no doubt someone in your life needs a healing touch from God, needs God's presence, healing, hope. And that person can be you. In whatever hallway of sixth grade you're staring into today, perhaps you need God's healing, his presence, his hope. There's something we do each week here. It's not just the Eucharist. There's a lot of different liturgies we do that are hopefully shaping us into being people who look like Jesus as imitators of God, as filled by the Spirit. And I want you to take this one seriously this morning. Maybe something that's just something you can just do. But perhaps this week as we pray the Lord's Prayer together, you can see it as a practice that maybe takes hold in a new and different way. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. And it's going to be on the screens in front of you if you're unfamiliar with it at this time. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.